We're on part six, the Haggadah. Before the end of Magi, basically, we mentioned the first couple of sections from the Hallel. We mentioned Me Ashpos Yarim Evyon, that Hashem, from the garbage dumps, He raises up the poor. So He brings a mashal. What's the idea of the garbage dump? He says, mashal is once a woman that want to sit down for the Suda Shabbos. Of course, first thing you do is you go wash. Mm-hmm. So she takes off her diamond ring, her engagement ring, whatever, and she puts it down on the table, and she goes wash. So she comes back, but then she got distracted and talking about this, and they forgot to pick up her rings. In the meantime, they eat, they drink, finish the Suda, and then they fold up the plastic tablecloths, whatever, with all the junk in it, including her ring, and gets thrown into the garbage dump. So what happens the next morning? The chickens are go to the garbage and they start pecking and picking at the food, or have something for breakfast. So they're picking away, put out this and that, whatever, and then they come across the ring. So they peck at it. It's this hard thing, they just like push it away, and they go for the meat, some leftover chicken. What are they going to do with this hard rock, this diamond? It says that's the mashal. It says the nimshal is that we're the same thing, that we pick at all our taivas in this world, and when it comes to the ikkar, the important things, the Torah and mitzvahs, which are the valuable things that we throw away, like the chickens. It's from Yashbos Yavim. Okay, conclude with the bracha. Part of the bracha we at the end of Gal Yisrael. So we say the sasim v'avodasecha. So he brings sort of Yaakov brings that he once was speaking to the Panovitcher Rav, and the Panovitcher Rav told him, he says, Rav Yaakov, okay, everybody has its ups and downs, and okay, we have our faults, we do tshuva. He says, but one thing I did when I was younger that I'll never forgive myself for, and no matter what, I can't bring myself to have proper mechila, and one thing I'll never forgive. So he's interested, what was that? So he said, Ponevichiro said, once I was speaking to the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim said to me, he says, the Mashiach is going to come soon, and you're a Rav Kahanim, you're a Kohen, and so have you learned the Avoda, the Hilchas Beis Bechira, did you learn, because the Beis Bechira is going to be built, and you have to know what to do. And not only that, we see this, it says in the Gemara says in Tainus, right, that if a person, a Kohen, knows what Mishmar he belongs to, we don't know these days, but if you would know, then you would nowadays would not allow, to drink wine in that week, because the Beis Hamikdash could be built, and this will be your week to, you'll have to work right now, and you can't do a vote. This week, Sedra, right? Yain v'sheikh al-tesh, you can't do a vote when you're intoxicated. So it wouldn't be that the Kohen would not be able to drink wine in that week if he knew what his shift was, because the Beis Hamikdash would get built, and you won't be able to serve. So surely, he says, you have to know can't drink wine, you're surely going to have to know what to do. You have to know what the avoda is. He says, do you know the avoda? So he says, I was young at the time, and I was, he says, I'll never forgive myself what I said. I said, what did you say? He said, I said that, Rebbe, well, I said to the Chafetz Chaim, what's the connection? He says, if somebody's drunk, that's a psula goof. You can't do the avoda when you're drunk. Okay. He says, but if it comes to what to do, how to do it, so I said to Chafetz Chaim, that's not a problem. I'll stand next to you. You're also a Kohen, Chafetz Chaim. I'll stand next to you, and I'll listen, watch you, and I'll do what you do. What's the big deal? So that's why I answered him. He says, I can't believe the chutzpah. He says, what was the chutzpah? He said that I could even think that I'm going to be next to the Chafetz Chaim in the time of the Gevula. That I have the schus to be near him even. That I could, he says, I'll never forgive myself for saying that. Okay. Afterwards, we go on to the Rachza. This brings up Maisa, also the Chafetz Chaim. Once he was took. Tamil Shinoi.
Oh.
So once the Chafetz Chaim was at a chasana, so one of his Talmidim in the Yeshiva of Radin. So in those days they didn't do chasanas in fancy halls. They used to do it in the house of the father of the bride. So they came in to eat the Suda, and they noticed that the Chafetz Chaim went into the kitchen. So they assumed that he's checking out the kashrus, you know, make sure everything's okay. So came out, and then he went to do Netilas Yadayim, and they noticed that he washed, like, just the minimum sheer of water, a tiny little bit, just in a minimum. So they were surprised. So after the motzi, whatever, so Talmidim asked him, he says, it says, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Tamach Beis, says, Rav Chista mentions, Ani no tel b'may meloch ofnaim, I use a lot of water when I wash, u'mashpin alai shefa tova meloch ofnaim, and Hashem gives me a lot of prosperity, because if you, so it's a segula, use a lot of water for Netilas Yadayim, Hashem gives you a lot of prosperity. So he says, so how come you didn't use a lot of water? So he says, the Chafetz Chaim said that, you know, he says, you saw I went into the kitchen. I wasn't going checking the kashrus. I was checking the kashrus. He said, no, these people are cheskas kashrus. I'm sure everything was fine. I didn't go into that. Why did I go into the kitchen? Because I wanted to see who brings the water. Right? Who brings water? They didn't have, like, taps, you know, open the tap. They had to bring the water from the well, whatever. So I wanted to see who brought the water. And I saw it was this maid or whatever was working there and her daughter. And then I looked into it, who is this woman? I found out she was an Amana, and her daughter is the Yatoma. Her father's not alive, you know? So then I figured, okay, that's, you know, very nice to use a lot of water, but I'm not willing to, use this, a lot of water on the cheshbon of this Amana and this Yatoma. That's what I'm not willing to do. He said, that's Zeu Musar. That's Musar. Okay, Maror, we dip in Charoses. So why do we dip the mar in charoses? So that the Gemara says in Psachim Daf Kuf Tes Vav on the base says it's to take away the sharpness of the maror, which is Gemara even says it's like air, it's like poison even, and it's like sucks out the poison from the maror. But he says on a pidrash, we learn from this that there's no such thing as something. Why we dip the mar in charoses, which is sweet, is to show us there's nothing that's really bitter. We always have to find that sweetness, the hope, whatever in everything. Right? It might look bad, but there's something good there. And that's why we dip the maror in charoses to show that there's something sweet there, you have to find it, it's there. And he said, we see that in the Etzem Shibud and Mitzrayim. Right? You can say, well, what's good about the Shibud and Mitzrayim? You know, there for 210 years and the Avodas Parach and the hard work and that, and torture and that. So what can be good about that? So, but you look into a little bit, you see there was good. Why? They were supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. But they're only there for 210. 190 years, they got out early. So the Rishon discussed why. So one of the Perushim is, because had they been in normal slavery, they would have been there for 400 years. Because they made our lives bitter, and extra slavery, so that reduced the amount of time. You know, it was 400 years of regular slavery, which is 210 years of harsh slavery. So the fact that they had harsh slavery got them out early, 190 years. So there was something good in the slavery, in the harsh slavery. Look for that good. Okay. It's a little thing he brings here under the heading of Shulchan Aruch, that I've heard this mice before with the Sar Shalomi Bells, the Belzer Rebbe, that he had a very elderly mother. And that the Leil Seder, he sat down his mother next to him, and you know, she was very old, and so she had, you know, was not 100%, you know, with it mentally. And all of a sudden, during the Shulchan Aruch, they served the soup, and the Belzer Rebbe's mother took matzah, broke it up, and she put it in the soup bowl of her son, the Belzer Rebbe. Now, to Hasidim, like, this is like something you do not do with your brats, right? And so everybody's like astonished, like looking, oh my gosh, like, what's she doing? What'd she do? But they were more astonished when the Belzer Rebbe, you know, smiled at his mother, took a spoon and started eating it. He mamash ate the gebrats. So the Hasidim said, what's going on? How could you do that? It's gebrats. So he said, listen, he says, well, what are you so astonished by? He says, Gebrachs is the Shari Tshuva calls it a Chumra Rechoka. He says, it's a far off Chumra. It's a chumrah. He says, but kibunim is midaraisa. So if they put your priority straight, it's nice, it's a chumrah, but it's a chumrah. Kibunim is a deraisa. I'm going to embarrass my mother and say, oh, how can I do this? Let's get away this. You know, kibunim is deraisa.
I once heard that you can, that the roughs didn't come out of nowhere. Even when someone told me that you could even fill the whole library, filled with svarim and gebrots.
But still, it's still a chumrah. It's not the ikar halacha. It's not the raisa. It's just a chumrah. It's an in, you know. But kibud avim is minator. Okay. Let's go on to barich, up to benching now. I saw this. I was very happy when I saw this question, and it's a question that bothered me. He says, brings the Shulchan Aruch brings down, and Or HaChaim Siman Kuf Pei Sifei. It says that the minag is that one is when before one branches, you're supposed to cover the knives, either take them off the table or cover them. You shouldn't leave the knives uncovered when you're benching. So it comes from the sources from a Rokeach. And the Beis Yosef brings it down. So what's the idea? What's the reason behind it? So one reason given is because the Shulchan is like a Mizbeach. Shulchan's like a Mizbeach. And it says, the Gabi the Mizbeach, that the Torah says, that Shelo Tanif L'Hanif Ala Barzel. Right? When you're making the Mizbeach, you can't have a metal touch the Mizbeach. Why? Because it's not proper that some barzel, iron, which is usually used to make weapons, which shorten a person's life, should not come in contact with the mizbeach, which lengthens a person's life. Therefore, the metal, and since knives are usually made out of metal, so therefore, you're supposed to cover them up. But, so he says, he asks the question, that, chura, if that's the case, if it's because of the, we can't have the knives on a table on cover, whatever, because it's a mizbeach, so why is it only at benching? It should be the whole Suda. You shouldn't have shouldn't allowed to put knives on your table when you're during the Suda. I mean, why only at benching? Because it's domet mizbeach. What? It's only domet mizbeach your table when you're benching. Or when you're eating, it should be the whole time. Why is it only when we bench? So he says that the, what's the idea that the Shulchan is like a mizbeach? He says it's because it's because if you when it is like a mizbeach, when you eat b'kedusha, right? If you eat properly and for the right reasons, right kavanas, and you the suda is done, is he eaten with kedusha? So then the mizbeach is a then the table is like a mizbeach. So he says, what is the real test? How do you know if and when the achila was b'kedusha? So the achila is b'kedusha. It depends on how you bench, right? How you bench. That tells us how the kedusha of the achila was. So Meila, that's why the most important time of covering up the knives is during the benching. Because the benching it tells us how the achila was. If the achila is kedusha. Okay, so on the benching. He's from the first bracha. Who knows? Send lechem l'chol basar ki lo l'mchasta. Says there was once a yid that he was came to his rebbe and he was all upset. He says, you know, I'm running after my parnasa here and there, and I don't come up with anything. You know, I run, do this business, that, everything just fails, and I'm not, no atzlacha. He's all upset. So the rebbe said, listen, you're starving to death. He said, no, I'm starving. I have food on the table, but I want more. You know, I want more. I want the thing, and nothing's going. So he says, okay, Rebbe said to him, I'll give you an eitzah. He says, on Thursday, there is a market here in this nearby city, so go to there and look around you. See what's doing. So he took that as a siman. I'll go there, let's look around. I guess like something's going to happen, you know. He's preparing, the Rebbe's obviously something hidden over here. He's going to find maybe some business deal, someone's going to come up to him and offer him something, whatever. He's all excited. Great, Baruch Hashem, got the bracha. So he goes on Thursday to the city, and he goes to the market, and he's standing there, you know, like, you know, looking around, like the Rebbe said, look around, hoping somebody to come up. Nobody's coming up to him. In fact, he's kind of pushing him away here. He's pushing him away, get out of here, you're in my way. And nobody's saying anything, nobody's offering him anything, just like pushing him around. Until he gets pushed over to the side, and he's standing there where the horses are. So he's standing there near the horses, still looking at him. still not until the end of the day. They closed up shop, the whole market, that's it, over. But he takes their horses and things, they're going, goes home and finish. Nothing. So he says, what is going on over here? The Rebbe told me to come. So he goes back to the Rebbe. He says, the Rebbe, I don't understand. Well, what? So he says, don't tell me what happened. What did you see? He said, nothing. I was standing around and they started pushing me here. I ended up by the horses and that's it. And he says, oh, okay, good. He said, you're by the horses. What did you see when you're by the horses? So he says, Rebbe, what I see by the horses, I'll tell you what I saw. He says, you know, it's funny, because the horses are just like people. You have smart horses, you have stupid horses. You have smart people, stupid people. He says, what do you mean? He says, well, the horses, you know, they tie them up to the tree, you know, with a thing or a rope around their neck, and tie them to the tree. And then they're out working, so they want, you know, the horses have to eat, so they hang on their neck a thing of like oats, you know, so they can eat. He says, so you see the stupid horses, what do? They see on the ground nice grass, green grass. So they want to, instead of eating the oats, they want to eat the nice green grass. But what happens? The rope is too short. So they can't bend down, they can't reach to the ground to eat it. So they're struggling and pushing and meanwhile their neck's getting all scratched and they're bleeding and this and trying to reach to the... So finally they give up the hope and they see they can't reach the grass and then they end up eating the oats. He says, the smart horses, and they right away eat those. They say, forget it, we're going to, I can't reach the grass, and they right away eat those oats. So the Rebbe said, exactly, that's what I want you to see. He says, what do you mean? He says, the same thing. He says that Hashem gives everybody what he needs, right? He puts the basket around his neck. Hashem gives you, gives you what you need. The smart people, well, this is okay, this is what Hashem gave me, I'd eat it and finish. He said, it's the stupid people that are running after, this one or that. Hashem gives you this to finish. What are you going crazy for? In the end, it's going to just cause you a lot of tsar. It's not going to end up with anything. Anyway, like you see yourself, you're running after this business, that business, and what do you have? Nothing. There's a lot of pain. So just see what Hashem gives you and finish. He said, that's a smart person. Interesting little thing. It says that there's one say tzaddik, and he was very poor, and he had only one pair of shoes, and the shoes were already old and falling apart, and like nothing, you know. And he was outside in the winter, and in the rain and the mud and thing, and the shoes were falling apart, and it's cold, and finally that was it. The sole came off his shoe and went down into the mud and goodbye soul, and now he was out that and I didn't know what to do. So he turned to Hashem and he said, Ribono Shalom, he says, I'm asking you one of two things. Hashem, either give me a new pair of shoes or give me the seichel to understand why I don't need a pair of shoes. One of the two. So he says, and if you don't give me this and not this, he says, then I might have complaints against you, Hashem, and I don't want to, don't bring me to an Isaiah. So either give me a new pair of shoes or a seichel to understand why I don't need a new pair of shoes. And so he says that we don't have seichel, so at least that's why we're at least asking Hashem that please give us shoes, because the seichel to understand why we don't need it, that's beyond us, so therefore we dove and at least give us a pair of shoes. Okay. Once I had the schuss of taking Rav Galinsky, I drove him, once I brought him here to the moshav to speak, so I was driving home, he told me this next door, I remember in the car when I was taking him. So he says, the Gemara says in Imsachim, and Daf Kuf Yud Ches, it says, Kashi mizonosav shel adam kiflaim kiyoleda. It says that the parnasa is twice as hard as giving birth. It's twice as difficult as giving birth. And why? Because by Yoledet it says Be'etzev Tel Dibanim, that she gives birth Be'etzev in pain, whereas by Mizonos it says Be'itzavon. Okay, so we explain what's the comparison and why is it worse? Mizonos is worse than giving birth. So he says that when it comes to giving birth, woman is in pain, right? Fine, she goes, gives birth, it's painful, but then that's it, it's over and finished. He's happy, has a child, he's good. That's it. He says, however, when it comes to Mizonos, what do you see? See a guy, he opens up his store, whatever, he sells this and that, whatever, things are going good. So what? So we say, okay, finished. You made a few good sales, close up your shop and go learn. And that's what you're here for, not to make money. You got what you need, you didn't live, fine, you made your money, close up, and finish, and go learn. He says, no, what? He says, more, more, more. He says, he's asking for more, more and more pain. Right? The parnas is a pain. What are you asking for more pain for? He says, that's the difference. By later, okay, there's the payment, it's over. God gives birth and finish. Whereas here, it's not over. It's kiflayim kiyaleda. Because even after he makes his money, he still wants more pain, running after more pain, twice as giving birth, worse as giving birth. So he says a nice taich. He says that this idea comes from Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen Milublin, Pri Tzadik, and he says that, interesting, he says that the Gemara says, where do we learn it from? Because by woman it says etzev, and by a mizonus it says itzavon. So he said, normally, he said this in another shiur not so long ago, that itzavon, when you add the nun sofit at the end, that usually makes something smaller. We mentioned it that the pupil is called ishon. Why? Because ish is a small, ishon is a small person. When you look in the eye, you see a reflection of, you see it like a small person. So sometimes when you want to show something is small, you add an on at the end, like ishon, small ish, right? So when you want to say etzev, you say itzavon, that's like a little bit of etzev. But yet the Gemara is bringing it the opposite, and says by mizonis it's twice as difficult, because by bereth it says etzev, by parnas it itzavon. Lefech itzavon is tiny. So he says, that's the board, right? Because why? Really, a Kadosh Baruch Hu just gives a person a tiny bit of a thing. But the person takes it and makes it worse, right? He's well, here, I'll give you a little, okay, you have to suffer a little bit, you know. I don't reach and klala, fine, so do a little bit of work. But he takes it and he makes it into a lot. Hashem gives him a little bit, but he extends it and makes it a lot. Okay. So it says, saying the verse, Mirkas Amazon, No Delacha, Hashem Elchin, Al Shin Chatal Avotein, Eres Chem Ator Rechava, etc. So he says, we understand that we're thanking Hashem for the food. It's understood, obviously. What about for the Aretz? Al Shin Chatal Avotein, Eres Chem Ator Rechava. Why are we thanking for the Aretz? That's also understood, because it says, Napasu, Vachalta Vesavata, Uveirachta, right? You're satiated. You eat. You're satiated, and you bless Hashem. Allah aretz hatov asher nasalam. Says the pasuk. Also understood. But why are we also thanking Hashem because of Muslim for the Torah? You know, it's one of the things you have to say because of Muslim, right? If to mention the Torah. Al Torah chashli banatanu. Why are we thanking for? What does that have to do with because of Muslim? Why are we thanking for the Torah? So he says, he brings the Rashi, answers this. Rashi says in Brachas daf mem ches, he says, because it's through the Torah and mitzvahs that we got the Eretz. We're thanking him for the good land, and land gives us the food. But how did we get the land? The land we got through the Torah. Where does it say that? As the pasuk says, kol mitzvah asher nochi mitzvcha yom tishmur lasos. The mitzvah I'm telling you to keep, as Hashem says, why l'man tichyuner v'isem uvasem v'irishtem esaretz as nishma lasem levoseichem. In order that we should yorish the Eretz. So it's through the Torah that we got the Eretz. So he says once he was invited to speak to the army. So I think of the higher ranking, you know, people in the army,
officers.
The officers, yeah. And so he said the following idea. He says, "I have a question." He says, "It says by in the milchama of Midian when Moshe went to fight Midian, he took from he enlisted." From every Shevet, 3,000 soldiers from each Shevet. And then he split them up. Why 3,000? So from each Shevet, he split it up into thirds. Right? 1,000 will actually do the fighting. 1,000 needed to stay behind and guard the fort. And the other 1,000 to daven. And therefore each tribe had 3,000. So he says that, then he asked these, officers, he says, What age do you do you go to the army? You know, so he says, so again, normally, you know, you're from 18, 20, whatever, the 30, 40, whatever, maybe 50. Then he said, it reminded me that he says once when the Germans came into Russia, so they had an emergency enlistment, you know, that they needed the soldiers, emergency. So they even took older people, you know, 40, 50, 60. So there was one very patriotic guy, and he came and he says, okay, I'm here. He says, here, you're 70 years old. So he said, yeah, right. So he says, well, what do you expect to do over here in the army? You're 70 years old. So he says, what, is there nobody here in the army that's 7 years old? So they said, oh, there's a general, you know, the generals. He goes, okay, sounds good. Anyways, so he said, so the so who are the soldiers of the army? So he says, I know, so I have a kasha. He says, why did Moshe take these you know, these soldiers, like, you know, that are of fighting age, and takes 1,000 of them and to the Dovin? He should have used all of them to fight and take some old 70-year-olds or whatever to go to the Dovin. Right? They can't fight anyway, so why take the active people that could fight and take them and make them have to use them to Dovin, with a third of them to Dovin, let them all fight and let the older people that can't fight, let them Dovin. So he says that the answer is that he wanted to show them that and they should realize that how tefillah is necessary for the melchama and Torah, etc., and not less than the actual fighting. You know, if it's baby Ethiopia, he says, yeah, you need to learn. Okay, no, he took the people that could fight, and they're fighting. But no, I'm going to use these people that could fight to daven, because you think that davening, you need to fight more than you daven or do mitzvah. No, that the Torah and the davening, that's just as important as the fighting. And therefore, he took the people that could fight and made them into those to daven, to show them that davening is just as important, if not more.
So the big argument is people which are not flown, because
right.
We have to go and find them, and they're sitting there and learning.
Right, they don't realize
they don't
every bullet has a target. Yeah. You want to hit the target, so you have to have the tzlius behind it, the Torah. Okay. Brings the word from Rabbi Yisrael Solanter. On the heading Eretz Kam Dato Rechava, he says that Rabbi Yisrael used to say that a person has to be careful about, he calls it Fruma Negia, right? Negia being like biased or whatever, but a Fruma bias, like you, as we'll see, what does that mean? He gives the following vort to explain this. He says the Meraglim, they were the spies, they went out to spy Israel, they came back, they brought back a bad report. Even though these were very chashuv nunasim, they were like very chashuv people. So why did they bring back a bad report? So the Mesil Sashari says, because they were afraid they're going to lose their kavod. Right now they have their chashuv positions, and they thought that once we go into Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be new positions given, you know, redo the thing, and they're going to lose their positions. So, because of their kavod, they didn't want to lose their kavod. They didn't want to lose their positions. That's why they tried to convince them not to go into Eretz Yisrael. He says, okay, fine. So he has a good kasha. He says, okay, here. But if that's the case, he says, why did Moshe Rabbeinu daven for Yehoshua, right? Moshe made special tefillah for Yeshua that he shouldn't be influenced by the meraglim. He said, l'chura, you don't have to be worried about that, because Yeshua is the opposite. Right, Eldad Umeidad, right, they had a prophecy. What was the prophecy? That Moshe Mesi Yeshua Machnis. That Moshe was going to die, and Yeshua was going to be the one that's going to take them into Israel. So Yeshua knew he was going to be the one. Okay? So by him, it was the opposite. His cup was going to go up if he goes into Eretz Israel. Right now, he's second in command. He's going to take them in. He's going to be first in command. So the opposite. The Meraglim, they were going to lose their position, he says, okay, I can hear that they didn't want to go into Eretz Israel. But why did Moshe worry about Yeshua? Yeshua is the opposite. Yeshua is going to go up in Madrigas. He's going to be the leader of the people if he goes in. So he's not going to. Why should he be influenced and not want to go to Eretz Yisrael? So the answer is, this is the Inyan. He says, because Yeshua was very close to Moshe Rabbeinu, and was his chief Talmud or whatever, and he was worried about, as we said, this Fruma Negia, that he might think, I'm not going to want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why? We shouldn't go into why? Because that would mean that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die, which is true, right? But that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants Moshe Rabbeinu to die here, and going to Eretz Yisrael. That's what Hashem wanted. But therefore, it's a warp type of frumkite. You know, hey, I don't want, let's not go into Eretz Yisrael, whatever. I don't want Moshe Rabbeinu to die. You know, wow, what a tzaddik. You know, I care about Moshe Rabbeinu's life. I don't care about Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Hashem wants to take the Klal Yisrael in and finish. But that's what he calls this warped fruitcake. That's not a thing. So that's why Moshe had to daven from Yeshua that he should also make sure it doesn't get influenced, and for his own reasons, not want Klal Yisrael to go into Eretz Yisrael. So that's because he knew that he's going to maybe perhaps want, you know, not care about Moshe Rabbeinu more than what Hashem wants. Says so. We say in the benching about Torah Chashli Manatanu V'Chaim Chen V'Chesed Shchonatanu. So we see something interesting over here that we're mentioning. We thank Hashem. We mention first the Torah Al Torah Chashli Manatanu, and after that V'Chay Al Chaim Chen V'Chesed in our life. So it's interesting that the Torah is we're thanking Hashem for the Torah before we're thanking for our lives. So he brings a famous Meister from the Yerushalmi. Chagiga, that Elisha ben Avuya, he was known as Achir, he went off the derech, he was Rabbi Meir's Rebbe. So Rabbi Meir was said to him, Chazor b'cha, you should, why don't you do tshuva, you know? So he said, I can't. He says, why not? So he said, because once I was passing by the Kadosh HaKadoshim, and I was riding my horse on Yom Kippur, which was on Shabbos, and I heard a bas call that came out and said, from the Kodesh HaKadosh, and it said, Shuvu Vanim, Shovavim, right? Everybody can do Shuvu Chutz Mi Elisha Ben Avuya. So I said, okay, so that's it. You know, I heard the bas call said, I can't do Shuvu. So what am I supposed to do? So that was it. So he figured, well, if I can't have Olam Haba, I might as well have Olam Hazet. And that was that. And he went off. So was he right? You know, Lahora, he did hear this bas kol that said that he's not going to be accepted. Shuvah will not be accepted. So was he right for just maybe saying, okay, threw in the towel and just said, why not? You know. So no, why? It brings the following mashal. There was once a guy who was on a ship. He was out in sea or whatever. All of a sudden, there was a big storm. And the whole ship, you know, capsized, and he luckily was able to grab onto a piece of wood from the ship, or whatever, to keep him afloat. And he's out there in the sea, and with the waves, and the sharks, and of course no food, no that. You know, thought this was the end of him. But miraculously, somehow, the sharks, you know, he got away from the sharks, and he was able to. So get to some like island, you know. So, Baruch Hashem, you know, saved. So he gets up, gets onto the island, and he just wants to see what's doing. He says, oh, nice trees, fruits, that's very nice, Baruch Hashem, you know. At least he's somewhere, you know. And then, sure enough, he hears some voices. He goes, oh, people here, even, you know, this is wonderful. So he sees there's like a group of people sitting around, like a little campfire, and eating and drinking, you know, having a little party there. So he goes, oh, this is great. So he goes over to these people, and they look at him, and they said, you know, two's company, three's a crowd, you know, who's this guy, you know? So they said, who are you? Yeah, get out of here. Go back where you came from. We don't want you here. You're not part of us. Get here. Go away. Go back where you came from. So now, what do you think this guy's going to do? He's going to say, oh, okay, he's going to go back into the water with the piece of wood and the sharks? Why? They told him to go back where he came from. He said, come back. Hey, forget it. That he's not going back into the sea with the piece of wood and the shark. Forget it. Okay? So what? So what is he probably going to do? He's probably going to try to convince them and say, no, please, this. Hey, try somehow to, you know, but he's not going to go back. Forget it. There's no going back. Ah, so mainly, so that was the problem with Elisha ben Avuya, right? He heard, that's it, you can't come back. He's like, here, go away, we don't want you. That's what he heard. So what should his reaction have been? No, I don't care, I'm not going back, I need the Torah, I need Hashem, I need it. And he couldn't take no for as an answer, right? Just like the people, like the guy from the, who saved the thing, he's not, back in the sea, he's not going. So that's what he should have said. He should have said, no, I'm not going back to that. I need Hashem. I need the Torah. I need. And try some of that. But instead, he just heard, oh, no, yeah, okay, fine. I'll go back where I came from. That's it. And he just, you know, continued on in his bad way. So that was his fault. He says that, the Gemara says at the end of Sota, and the last Mishnah tells us the certain simanim, signs that when the time when Mashiach comes, right? The things that you're going to see, the ikvetz of the Mashiach, before the Mashiach comes. So one of the signs it says, shroch hakimaya lemehavek hachazenaya, meaning that the chachamim are going to be considered like chazanaya, like chazanim, like cantors, chazan. That the chachamim are saying, what's pshat? So he brings from the Beis Halevi, so he just adds it with a little bit of a, you know, mashal, says that imagine somebody offering a shidduch for your daughter. He says, okay, I have a bach or whatever, what's wrong? So okay, I'll say, well, he's a good guy, but he stutters a lot. So he thinks stutters, not so good, whatever. Okay. Another offer, right? Here I have someone to offer as a, for your daughter, but the problem is he's paralyzed completely from the neck down. You know, forget it. I don't know. Okay, he said, but what about the following, right? He says, I'm a shidduch for your daughter. Now, so the story's like this. He's a wonderful bachur. He's big talmid chacham, and he's got great midos. And then it goes on the list. He says, okay, new, so what's the problem? He says, well, the problem is that he's not a chazan. He's not a chazan. So what is the reaction going to be? Okay, that you can live with. He's not a chazan. Big deal. I mean, you don't have to be a chazan. You know, I mean, it's very nice. Have a nice voice. He makes extra money. It's like, okay, yeah, nice thing. But it's not, you know, it can live without being a chazan. Okay, the other things are can be problematic. But so he said, it used to be in Am Yisrael that somebody didn't know Torah was a balmu. He said, this, he didn't know Torah. Forget it. He's not, you know. So that's like, you know, pikuach nefesh ruchani, and so you say, well, he's everything, but he doesn't learn. He doesn't have, there's no Torah. Well, forget it. It's like saying the guy's paralyzed. Forget it. I don't want him. Right? He said, but unfortunately, in time of the Mashiach, he said the chachamim are going to be like chazanim, meaning that just like a chazan is like big deal if he's not a chazan, unfortunately there's going to be times when he's a great guy and everything, he just doesn't learn. He says, okay, no, he's not a chazan, right? There's going to be times when there are people going to look at people not learning like this, like he's not a chazan. That's a, which is not the way it should be. It says that also in benching, it says that beginning of the benching, we say, "Who knows lechem l'chol basar?" Okay, what's lechem? Bread, minimum, he gives bread, fine. But then later on in the benching, we say, we ask Hashem, "Reinu zuneinu," we ask Hashem to give us to eat, parnaseinu, chakaleinu, varmichenu, ravach lanu mehera, mikol sarasenu, mikol tuv leolam ayichasreinu. All the good, Hashem, don't take any of the good, give us all the good. So what's going on? First of all, you know, we mentioned Hashem gives lechem, and now we're asking for all the good, everything. So the Chafetz Chaim used to say, why is that? Madua magiela? Well, that it's coming to us. We're such very great tzaddikim that we have a right to ask for all of these things. You know, kol tuv leolam, give us everything. Well, what right do we have to say that? See, that's a cue for it. So the Gemara, the Brisa says at the end of Maseches Tainis that on the 15th of Av and the 15th and the Yom Kippur said that the single girls used to dance around in the vineyards, and someone who doesn't have a wife would go there and pick for himself a wife. So the Brisa said that the pretty ones would say, what would they say? They would say. You know, they were pretty. So they said, look, pick a nice, pretty girl. And the ones that had yichus, good mishpacha, they would say, because ain't yishael labanim. So the, right? And then it says, and the ugly ones, the mechu'oras, they are the ugly ones, what would they say? They would say, Kru mikhem l'shem shemai. What are they going to say? They don't have yichus, they don't have money, they don't have beauty, they have nothing. So what did they say? So they said, take your choice, pick a wife for l'shem shemai. Okay? But, uvilvad shetatrunu bizuhuvim. But only if you give us gold, like gold jewelry or whatever. So, before Shimon bothered by this, it was pshat, they say, do it l'shem shemayim, you know, and it says, as long as you give us gold jewelry. Well, what right do they have to ask for gold jewelry? They're ugly, nobody wants them, and they're asking for gold jewelry. So, reminded me of the Ben Ish Chai, also he asks this, and he says that because what's pshat? That these ugly ones are also poor, right? They don't have rich, but they don't have money. They're ugly. So what? So he says they're saying like this. You know, a person that picks a ugly woman, you say okay, so shame shemayim because he's not for the looks. However, if he picks a poor woman, that's not a dafka l'shem shemayim. Why? Because maybe he's picking a poor woman because he knows that she doesn't have a lot of expectations, right? So he can get by with giving her very little, doesn't have to pay a lot of money. You know, he doesn't have to buy a lot of jewelry, a lot of things, because she's poor, doesn't have high, you know, dreams. She lives a poor life, so he can get by with it. But if he marries a rich person, so he has to give her nice jewelry, nice, because that's when she comes from a lifestyle like that. So therefore, by a poor person, if he takes a poor woman, that's lav dafkas l'shem shemayim. So therefore, she said, that's why the ugly ones said, that's the ugly poor ones say, take your mechat l'shem shemayim. But, bilvad, only if you give us the gold jewelry. Why? Because only then you'll be showing that you're doing it l'shem shemayim. Because here you're saying, I'm obviously not doing it to save money because I'm giving her all this gold jewelry. So then that really shows l'shem shemayim. But he says a little bit differently. He says, what pshad, what's this condition? Only if you give us gold things, whatever. What kind of a chutzpah is that? So he says like this, that this again, this poor, ugly, you know, girl, so she knows, like, who's going to take her? Nobody, right? So who's going to take her? Nobody. So what does she do? She davens to Hashem. He says, look, Hashem, if I have to rely on me, I got nothing. I got no yichus, I got no money, I got no looks, I got no life. If I have to rely on I have nothing to rely on. So I can only rely on you, Hashem. Please make a miracle that somebody will take me. Right? Because that she has no other. So Mele, she says, oh, well, once I'm anyways relying on Hashem, so a miracle, I'm asking for a miracle, so Hashem can do whatever he wants, or if it's Hashem doing it. So, Mavachi, it's your true, Ms. Ruby, let him give me a lot of money also. Let me be a guy it's ridiculous. Why would he give you a lot of money? You're ugly, this and that, and there. Okay, all right, but I'm relying on the nace anyway. So to send Michal, anybody who picked me, I'm relying on Hashem and the nace. So let it be included in that, to give me a lot of money also. She says, may less the answer to the question. That who knows saying lechem, a chobos are fine, Hashem gives the minimum. That's what we say, you know, lechem, everybody gets their lechem, that's at the beginning of benching. But then, what are we saying over here? We say, we ask Hashem to be re'enu, our shepherd. We ask Hashem, what does it say about a shepherd? Hashem roi lo echsar. Right? Hashem is, you're my shepherd, nothing lacking, you have everything. So once we put ourselves in the hands of Hashem, and He is our shepherd, and He's not lacking anything, so then we can ask for everything. Now we can say, Hashem, give us everything, because now we're relying on you. You're our shepherd, and you're our roi lo echsar. You have everything, so once you have everything, you can give us. So please give. Okay.